Hello, everyone. It is Debbie DeGroat, and welcome to our Forward Mastermind call today. And I'm going to give everyone just about 10 or 20 seconds to get on the line with us. So while we're waiting, go ahead and be jotting down any questions that you have for me, because, of course, what I'm going to do is cover about 20 minutes or so of a topic that I prepared for you today. And then once I'm done with that, I'm going to go ahead and encourage you to feel free to open up the line to ask your questions. So I'm going to give you instructions on how to do that in just a moment. But if you prefer, I do have my email up and open. So if you are in a noisy place and you don't want to unmute your line, but you would like to email me your question, just feel free to do that. And the email that I'm watching right now is my private email, which you all should have, and that's debbiedegroat@gmail.com. So just go ahead and feel free to email your questions. Obviously, we are live today, so I will be opening up the line for you in just a few minutes. So I'm sitting actually here in Ben Kenny's office. Taylor and I flew into Washington because we're here with Ben and his team to do a lot of advanced planning for the end of the year and also for the new year ahead. So a couple of things to share with you if you'd like to note your calendar. We will be doing a business planning virtual live stream event, Ben and I together. I will be getting the date out to you soon. It's going to be either the 4th or 5th of November, so I'm going to get that out to you. Obviously, if you miss it, we will record it. We're going to be working today to put together new business planning tools, and we're going to take you through it live. It's going to be interactive. You'll be able to answer or ask your questions. We'll be able to answer you. So we'll have that coming for you very soon. Also, the first week of December, we will pin these dates down this week. We're going to do an actual event here in Bellingham, Washington, a 2 or 3 day event, all about preparing you for the year ahead. So again, more info coming soon, along with an item of value that we're going to be sending to you each and every month. And as you all may know, and I just want to remind you, we do write for you every single month a 4-page full-color newsletter that you can use for your past clients, your farm, your sphere of influence, called the Lifestyle Advisor. And that newsletter is completed the first of each month, so be watching for the October edition. That will be coming your way soon. And just a quick note, if you haven't used that newsletter before and this might be your first time viewing it, it is fully editable. So, of course, you can add your personalization to it, and you can delete any article if you choose to write your own article and pop it in that space. Now, it is a print newsletter, but coming by the new year, we're also going to be giving you digital formats for social media, for e-blasting, all kinds of cool things that we have the team working on for you right now. All right, so everyone should be on with us, so let's get this party started. So I wanted to talk to you today about getting ready for the market that's ahead of us. So not only the fourth quarter, but also the new year ahead. And you know, I was sitting here talking with Ben this morning, and I made the comment that if we really looked at October 1st, which, by the way, is today October 1st? I think it might be, right? So if we look at October 1st and say, it's almost like Happy New Year, right? Because what often happens in the real estate industry is when it gets to be right around Halloween, a lot of agents start deciding that they're going to wait till the new year. I'll do that in the new year. You know, I've worked hard. I deserve a little break. So I always have told our coaching clients, the holidays do not begin on Halloween. So of course, I want you to be looking ahead in this fourth quarter and taking some well-deserved time off to spend with your family. But go ahead now and make those decisions. You know, how many days will you take off at Thanksgiving? Will you take a little break in between Christmas and New Year? And then set a short-term action plan for your fourth quarter. How many listings? How many sales? What key projects do you want to get up and running and launched so that by January 1, you're ready to go? Also, I know many of you who have been with us in coaching and those who have recently joined coaching have reached out to me and said, I'm really going to increase my efforts to do, Debbie, what you've been suggesting, which is expand the range, reach, and influence in the community. And so as you're thinking about that, you might be thinking, I need to talk to more people every day. Well, let's use the fourth quarter as the dress rehearsal. So maybe you haven't quite mastered yet our 5-5-5-5, five quality conversations a day, five emails to spark a new activity, five texts to hunt a lead, five note cards, birthday cards, handwritten notes. Because remember, when we do the 5-5-5-5 each day, it takes about an hour to an hour and a half. But in the course of a year, if you work 285 days, that would be 5,700 great connections. And think back, many of you would say you have not made 5,700 great connections this year. So that's the good news, right? When you do something as simple as your 5-5-5-5, so five contacts, that's eye-to-eye or ear-to-ear with a decision-making adult, they don't have to buy, they don't have to sell, it's a real estate conversation. Five emails, does not include an email blast. This is, hey, I'm reaching out. You said you're looking to sell. Are you ready? Love to meet with you this week. So to spark new business, five texts and five handwritten notes. So let's start to develop in the fourth quarter some good habits, because it's proven by many people who study this, not me, I just read it in books, that it takes 90 days to 4 months to truly lock in a new habit or pattern. So just imagine this. You have a great fourth quarter. You're feeling terrific with the listing inventory, the pendings, the closings. You're having an awesome holiday season, and you're not dreading your start to the new year because you're looking forward to that new year, and it's already a path that you've created. You're just stepping right back into that path. So please work with your coaches, talk to me, email me if you need some help, join us on that business planning session. Let's set a goal that by Thanksgiving, you have your 2020, can't believe it, sounds like crazy, right? 2020 business plan in the can. And then let's set a short-term goal between now and the holidays, and let's choose the days off that you're going to take. So I guess, you know, the next thing we should spend a couple of minutes on is everybody's wondering, agents are wondering, clients are wondering, what is the new year going to bring in terms of this market and market conditions that we can expect? You know, guys, I look at it this way. No one has a crystal ball. You know, you can talk to five different people and get five different opinions. And yet, as I travel around and I hear some really great speakers that are keynotes on the stages that I share, they're talking about the fact that we're really not expecting any crash. You know, so many of the conditions that caused the crash before are not in place. You know, we don't have the disasters in the mortgage companies that we had then, and unemployment is low and interest rates are incredibly low. And lenders that we coach are saying they look like they're going to stay that way. So I heard one lender describe it as more of a psychological recession, meaning that buyers have more access to information, as we all know, than ever before. So when you're explaining this to your sellers and you're saying what's happening is in most markets, our prices have escalated. So we have a bit of an affordability issue in some price points. Then we also have people being cautious because they're not sure where's the market cycle going to be, so they don't want to overpay emotionally. And these buyers are online doing their homework and research, and they're making offers that may not be as aggressive as they were in the past. And at my last event in Scottsdale, one of our great coaches came in, and she works in a very competitive market in Newport Beach, Corona Del Mar, and she talked about how she's sharing with her sellers, we can look at the close data as historical information, But what we really need to be focused on are the current actives that we're competing with, right? So we need to have those setting the expectation conversations with our clients. And you all have my shifting market packet, the 100-page packet. You all have access to that. So if at any reason at all you don't have it or can't find it or need it resent to you, then don't email me, okay, because I'm in a meeting today with Ben. Go ahead and email Samantha@forwardcoaching.com and just say, Samantha, can you please send me per Debbie the shifting market toolkit? And I would encourage you to print that. Okay, so we're not really expecting a disastrous crash. I think that what we're going to have to do, though, to be ready for the year ahead is really dig in to manage our sellers. Now, some pocket markets, they're still selling like hotcakes. All is good. Other markets, it's taking longer to sell. Have that setting expectation conversation, but most of all, be sure you're communicating every single week. If you talk to them, I don't mean just email, but if you talk to them, you'll keep them happier. And some of you do work the luxury segment, and you know, you may have seen my interview with Ernie Carswell, and Ernie talked about the double-digit luxury that he sells. He has seen significant price adjustments. So he has to prepare his sellers for that. He has to have frequent conversation. And one of the things Ernie and I talked about is even if they tell you no, if you're going to keep the listing, you owe it to them to keep asking, for that reduction. I often look at it like this. If you or I went to the doctor today and the doctor said you have some disease and you need to take this medication, if you don't, you'll die. But the medication has some side effects and you're not going to love it, but if you don't take it, you'll die. Well, if we didn't choose to take the doctor's advice and we came back to the doctor in a week, the doctor would give the same advice. And if we didn't take the advice and we came back in a month, the doctor would give the same advice. Because you see, the circumstance didn't change and the solution is the same. It's all a matter of will they accept that solution. So you keep going back, you keep asking. Some of the lines I like as I, you know, would work through shifting cycles to get price reductions is, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I respect you enough to tell you the truth, and it's what you hired me to do. So with your permission, I need to be very direct and very honest. So another great line I used to use is this conversation is all about protecting your equity and your investment, right? And I'd rather you be mad at me now than be mad at me later. So let's manage our sellers. The next thing I wanted to put in front of you today, two more things before we opened it up for questions, your buyers. You know, if you look at most of your buyers, they're going to be in their homes 10, 12, 15 years. So if the price shifted a bit, but they're going to be in the home for a long period of time and interest rates are still really terrific, we can't lose sight of the fact that home ownership is incredible, always has been, always will be. You know, I sold real estate when fixed rates were 18%. And the interesting thing, and some of you on the line I know did too, people still bought and sold houses because they want to own a home. When the market was crashing, people still bought and sold houses. So sure, your buyers could wait on the sidelines and yet talk to them about how amazingly affordable it is with the low interest rates, rates that I never thought in my lifetime I would ever see or see for this amount of time. If they're renting, talk to them about the fact that they're throwing that money away to a landlord, no benefit to them other than a place to live that may not even be where they want to be. Talk about the tax write-off that they'll have when they buy a home and really just the whole pride of ownership, owning their own home, owning that bigger home they've dreamed of or right-sizing down to something easier to manage. Okay, so get your buyers off the fence. And remember, buyers buy emotionally. They just need some logical reasons from you to justify that decision. Okay, so then we have sellers, we have buyers. Now let's talk about your past clients and sphere of influence. I did about 5 events in the last 7 days, all talking about preparing for the shifting market. One of the things I encouraged everyone to do is use this fourth quarter to reach out to everyone you've worked with, to everyone you know who knows you're in real estate and are happy to talk with you. Talk to them about their real estate questions. Look at them and say, you know, who are they? And what's an opportunity that I should be discussing with them? Well, I know they've got that 3-bedroom home and they now have 5 kids. Maybe I should talk about low rates and the fact that higher price points, prices are softening. This might be the perfect time to do that move up. Or maybe I look at them and I know they've been thinking about downsizing and I talk about this could be your window of opportunity. See, I want you guys to pretend for a moment that there's no commission involved, that you're a real estate social worker, and that you just feel really good about reaching out to the people you know in the fourth quarter and giving them good advice. Now, maybe they won't take the advice. Maybe they're decided they're not interested in moving up. And guess what? That's totally fine. At least it shows that you care. Okay, so 3 big points of focus. And then just to sum it up, and then in just a moment, so get your questions, comments ready, I would encourage you to expand your range, your reach, and your influence. So what do I mean by that? Well, that could mean I'm going to expand my touch points of connecting with my past clients and sphere of influence. I'm going to lock them down. I want them to see emails. I want them to get something in the mail. I'm going to call them. I'm going to see them on social media because I want to be top of mind as their wise advisor. And it's really critical to do this, guys. If you've put this off, then let's make the fourth quarter project to get your CRM up and running, to get your people tagged and marked, to get your campaign set, because we need to circle the wagons around the people who are your warm connections, because if you don't do that, the disruptors will take them away from you. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Zillow, Amazon, whoever else. They will try to get in front of that relationship. But remember what I've shared with you in the past, and it still holds true. 90% of people will go to an agent they know and trust in the community. I want you to be that agent. Okay? So we could expand our reach and our touch points into the people we know. Next, you could expand by moving up your price point. You know, I was with some terrific agents last week in Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara has a very high average price point. You know, Newport Beach, high average price point. Certain markets that are considered those luxury markets, what's nice about that, they're not as prone to seek out the cut rate, flat rate services. So maybe not giving up your day job, your bread and butter, if your bread and butter is not higher end, why not just sneak up a bit into that higher end opportunity? It could be through higher end expired for sell by owners, could be through your social connections or group involvement, your joint venture partnership with professionals who also have your ideal clients. And of course, it could be geographic farming or holding open house in those higher end areas. But for most of you, if you just grabbed a higher end transaction every quarter, that would be a significant bump to your, to your income, to your volume. And you're all by far good enough, great enough to work that higher price point if you chose to do so. Now, another way you might expand is you might expand your territories that you work. or you might expand your types of prospecting activities. So if you're in private coaching with us, because I know some of you are in our group, older group program, the Inner Circle, many of you are in the private coaching. If you're in the private coaching with us, remember to talk to your coach as you set up your business plan. Because as you know, I'm a believer that the activities you choose should match your talents, your preferences, and your personality. So there doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all approach to this, but I'd like you to find your 3 to 5 key sources, key points of focus, because if we're just pursuing 1 or 2 sources, it might not create enough activities to get you the appointments you need for the new year ahead. Okay, so you want to be sure you have your 3 to 5 key points of focus, and when you do, that you really drill in and have very specific action plans. Okay, so I know it's a lot to do, but it's a great time to be doing it, to get excited about 2020. And you know, some of you probably remember watching Saturday Night Live when, you know, we were like in junior high or high school, and they had Gilda Radner, and she played the part of Rosanna Dana, and she used to say, "It just goes to show you, it's always something." So for those of us who've been around in the real estate industry for a long time, we know it's always something. The agents who survive, thrive, and conquer are the ones that don't bury their head in the sand. They pay attention. They make adjustments. They try new things. And when you try new things, you feel happy, because 90% of your sales success is mindset. So I want to ask you, where is your mindset about the business today? Did you know? You get what you think about most. Zig Ziglar had a famous saying. He said, 80% of what we worry about won't happen, and the 20% that will, we can't do a thing about. Right? So remember, predictable process is going to create a predictable stream of activity, and super salespeople pay attention, adapt. And also, we know that every new market shift also brings new opportunity. So I want to ask you, 1, look at what you're doing to extract more business from your current sources. And then 2, what opportunity is your market presenting that you're avoiding or not taking advantage of, right? So what have you got to lose? Try something new. Okay, guys, so if you want to ask me questions, this is a perfect time to do it. So go ahead and just hit *7. Now, if you hit *7 to talk to me, remember that once you're done asking your question, if you'll go ahead and hit *7 back and put yourself back on mute, that way we don't pick up all the background noise. Okay, so go ahead if you'd like. I have a couple other things I can share if you don't have a lot of questions today, but go ahead. I'll give you a minute. Hit *7. Okay, so I see while you're doing that, a question coming in. Okay, so let's see. Alex is saying that the conference has a terrible connection. You know, guys, it seems fine on my end. So my apologies if there's something wrong with the connection, Alex. I'm not sure if it's just your phone, but we are recording it. So just know we are recording this, so we will get the recording out to all of you, okay? And the recording should be fine. All right, question. Someone have a question? I hear a line open. Okay, *7 if you'd like to open your line. Okay, so I do have a question here in front of me. The question is, Debbie, if you could choose one skill to work on more than any other for the next quarter, what would that skill be? So we're not talking about a prospecting method. We're talking more about a skill. And I really think, guys, I was working on this morning for the Luxury Institute topic I'm going to be doing soon at their conference. I really think it's the art of selling. You know, for a while, the markets made it rather easy to be an order taker. And we need to really master that art of getting into those conversations with sellers and buyers, of, you know, being that calm, cool head in the negotiations, of telling them this is what you need to do next and guiding them through that process. So I would really work at your skill of sales versatility, negotiation, right? And as we said earlier, communication is a must. Okay. Question. I hear a line open, I think. Fire away if you have one. Okay. I do see one coming in over the email, and this is a good question. Debbie, I heard you recently at an event talking about negotiating offers in person with your sellers. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I've never done it. So that's what the person said. I've always just DocuSigned or emailed offers over and discussed it over the phone. You know, when you have a market that's relatively easy where these offers are coming in over full price and sellers are super thrilled with the offers, you know, then maybe it's fine, absolutely fine, to send the offer over, DocuSign or whatever you use, talk them through it, get their signature, and we're good to go. However, when the offer's not fine, when it's not easy, remember, you are a great salesperson. Your job, so here's my little affirmation here, as a great salesperson, your job is to help them overcome their natural fear and hesitation to achieve the goal that they have set. Okay, so you may want to write that down because it's the heart of it. They come to you for a reason. They want what they want, but they get stuck in indecision. So one of the reasons I like to negotiate offers in person with the seller is there's something in business called, you've heard this before in sports, the home court advantage. So it's been studied and proven that if in negotiations you can get that party to your office, that you have a 40% greater opportunity to persuade them and to persuade them logically. And it just makes sense, right? You go to their home where they've lived for 20 years. They're very emotional about it. You're sitting there at the table. You're presenting an offer that's not the offer that they had hoped for. And now there's so much emotion and a phone ringing and a dog barking and a kid crying in the background, as opposed to being able to actually have them come to your office. Very professional opportunity to sit down with them, go over the numbers, and persuade them to be reasonable, right? So I love it. It saves you time too. You don't have to drive there. You don't have to wait while they finish breakfast with their family. And you get to work right up until the minute they walk in that office. So I love it. That's the way I was trained, and it always worked for me. So if you're going to do this, then what I would suggest to you is I would suggest that what you may want to do also is prepare your sellers. Talk to your sellers about the fact that because there will not be likely to be as many offers, and because there may likely need to be some very strong negotiations, that you would like to ask them to come to the office when there is an offer. And have the front desk person or your assistant call and make that appointment, because if you talk to them, they're going to ask them what the offer, you know, ask you what the offer is. We don't want to talk about it. We want to get them into the office. And a bit of advice, never use the words low. You know, Mr. or Mrs. Seller, I know it's a low offer, but see, you just told them the offer is not good. Instead, present all the good points and say, and the price they are offering is X. Now, if they don't like it and they throw a fit and they say, I'm so offended, I can't believe they made an offer that low, then I would say, you know, I understand, and listen to my wording here, guys, I understand the offer is not what you were hoping for. So again, I didn't use the word low. I understand the offer is not what you were hoping for. And yet, if you think about it, who we really should be offended by is the 2,500 people that viewed your home online, the 5 that came to actually see it in person, and the fact that out of all of that, none of them wrote an offer except Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And that's exactly why we're going to want to do our best to come up with something reasonable to work with them on. Okay, so time to really own that skill and that power of negotiating. Okay, all right, so any questions, guys? Go ahead, fire away. If you do, *7, or you can email me debbiedegroat@gmail.com. Okay, questions, guys? Go ahead. Okay, so I know we covered a lot pretty fast, but we will send out the recording. So if any of you had trouble hearing us, I think we got a good recording, so we'll send that out for you. As you know, you can email me your questions anytime. If you send them in today, there'll be a little bit of delay to answer because I'm going to be in meetings with our team here to be planning for all our goodies for you in the next few months ahead. So before I let you go, one more check here. Any questions?
Okay. Debbie?
So, go right ahead. Fire away.
Hi, it's Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So tell us what you need. You're the only brave soul today.
Buyers that you know, but anyway, we'll keep the names undisclosed. But anyway.
To protect the innocent, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So listing agent says, oh, they're not motivated to move. The lister.
Seller.
The seller.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. So they're not that motivated to move. So when talking about potentially making an offer, she's like, well, they don't have to move. They're not that motivated to move. And I want to say, well, why is their house on the market, right?
Right.
So it's been on the market for 58 days. And so trying to find a way to coach your buyers to still make a reasonable offer, even though you know that they're not, that the seller is not motivated.
So that's, you bring up a great point. Let's even look at it, and then I'll come back because I know who you're talking about, your buyer that you're talking about. Let's look at it just more generically. Guys, when a seller tells you, I don't have to move, I'm not that motivated to sell, do you know what I tell myself to hear in my mind? Blah, 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 blah. Okay? Because just like on the Charlie Brown cartoon when the parents and teachers are talking and the kids hear that, wah, wah, wah. I basically tune it out. And the reason I tune it out is I know it could potentially be true, but I also know that they think that if they tell the real estate agents that the real estate agents, whether it's a buyer's agent or listing agent, are going to go to bat to try to get them a higher price. What they don't even realize is they might actually be discouraging an offer at all, right?
Right.
So I think that they say that more than they mean it, you know, and obviously it's not always true. But when you think about the headache and the hassle to get a property on the market, to have it on the market, why would they do it if they didn't want to sell? Now, there could be a divorce sale where the court orders it and the wife is in the house or the husband and they don't want to sell. But in most cases, I kind of assume they want to sell. Now, what I would tell my buyer, though, if we switch it over to buyer, I would say, and I'm going to give you guys an example because I just did a 1031 exchange. We're doing the physical inspection this weekend. And it's actually on a property that was on the market over 500 days. Now, the agent said to me, the reason it hasn't sold, and I couldn't even see it, I'm seeing it for the first time in the inspection, is the tenant is incredibly uncooperative. We've all had that, right? Because the tenant wanted to buy it, didn't have any money. So I had to look at that logically and go, well, why hasn't it sold? Well, nobody can get into the darn property, right? And then also, the seller knows that he's got a great property, great location, and he owns it as an investment, he's not budging. He's had offers and he's not budging. So I had to look at it and say, do I want it? Why do I want it? Is it worth the price that they're asking? And if I make a lower offer, he's probably just going to turn it down. Or since there's such a little bit of inventory in that particular category, odds are just as soon as I decide to write on it, somebody else is going to as well. And I always told buyers that. I'd say, you know, you can look at the days on market and you can say, gee, maybe I have the advantage because nobody's bought it. Or it could be that it's recently been reduced and it's going to spark some activity, or there's a little shift in the market or lack of inventory. And it never fails. The one you want is the one everybody else suddenly decides they want. So, Stacey, I have to ask you this. If you lose this house, can we find a replacement? If you lose this house, will you be sad that you did? So based on how you feel, and only you know, what is the most you're willing to pay to make sure another buyer doesn't take your home away? I need you to think about that. And then, guys, one of the things I would be sure to do, and I'm sorry I don't have my calculator handy for payment factors right now, but the rates being so low, if somebody were to pay, let's call it $20,000 more to get a house that they wanted, so it's probably about $5 per thousand. So let's look at that. 20,000 times 5. What is that, guys? My calculator is going crazy here. I think I need a new phone. Probably dropped it too many times. But this is called the reduce it to ridiculous. I can't get my calculator to work. Sorry, guys. But 20, you know, so I would take it to, if you pay a little bit more with the low interest rates, what's that going to be on your monthly payment? Can we replace it? How will you feel if you lose it? But then bottom line, if the buyer doesn't care enough, which I know your buyer, Stacey, maybe they don't, then you just have to get the best offer out of them you can. And I would do, I'm going to say something, guys, and I don't mean this to sound rude. I think we should be as cooperative and as gracious with agents on the other side of the deal as we possibly can be. And yet I think we also should kind of in our mind assume, unless you know the agent and know they're good, assume they may not have much control of their seller. Assume they may not know how to actually go in and sell that seller on anything. So since you won't get to talk to the seller.
I believe that in this case.
Yeah, probably true. So since you won't get to talk to the seller, prepare a darn good cover letter without being offensive. And I never found that it worked to say to a seller, you know, the reason the buyer's buying your house is they want to gut it and remodel it. Seller doesn't care what the buyer wants to do, but they may care that, of course, we know there needs to be a roof and there's some issues with the plumbing and buyer is aware of that. And, you know, so there are some factual things, but I'd prepare a really good letter. So if the agent can't say good words, maybe they'll share those good words that you've written. And you can even ask, there's no law against it. Say, what do you have to lose? Let me get together with you and the seller at the office. That's the way we used to do it. Let me get together with you and the seller on a conference call. I'll be polite. I want to plead my buyer's case. I want to help us put this deal together. Funny, old school works, getting in front of those people, because that agent very, very much may not know how to manage that. Okay. All right, guys. Any other questions? Star 7.
Yes, Debbie, I have a question. This is Jordan Trostler in Baton Rouge.
Oh, hi there.
So,
go ahead.
How are you?
Away. Very good.
All right, so I got a phenomenal listing, very pristine, clean, very well maintained. We overpriced the house about $10,000 more than what I suggested. On the on the hopes that, hey, I would get them down after the lack of activity to where we need to be. Made this call, had the conversation, and showed her everything that I'm doing to market her property. She's totally blown away at everything I've done, and she said, look, I cannot lose that much money on this house. Now, I've spoken to Dave, and Dave was like, hey, you know, that's probably imaginary money. We pulled some records from the title company, and they did spend more than what we previously had it listed. So she is actually losing money on this house, and I'm just trying to figure out a way, because her husband has had a stroke. They really need a place that can be low maintenance, and she can focus on taking care of her husband.
Okay.
That we can get the house priced where she needs to be, that I can help them get into a place they need to be successfully without her worried about, I'm losing this money, I'm losing this money.
So my thought goes to questions, right? So often we think of asking questions to get answers, but also asking questions in a very gentle, respectful, consultative way can actually cause them to reason through it. And people love to know that you're thinking about them and that they're on your mind. And so if she lives locally, I would maybe do something like this. Call her back and say, you know, I go to bed at night thinking about your situation. I wake up in the morning thinking about your situation. And I really want to help you come to some conclusion, some plan. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask you, come to my office. Let's sit down. No pressure, just a good conversation. I want to look at with you what a potential net could be. I want to look at with you what we might anticipate some market trends to be. And I want to see with you, does this even make sense at all? Because I'm on your side. If you decided for whatever reason you don't want to sell the house, I'm on your side. So come in and let me buy you coffee. And let's just talk it through. I need to help you. I want to feel good about helping you. So I would try to get her in, or them, if he's able, you know, to come. And I would say, okay, let's take a look at some realities of the market. Not crashing. However, it is shifting. So here's what I need to ask you guys. Can you afford to keep the house for 5 or 10 years? And I shouldn't say afford. Maybe that's a bad question. Are you willing and able to keep the house for 5 to 10 years? Because that's about how long it usually takes us to work through a cycle. So if you can do that and you want to do that, I would be supportive. Just be prepared for the fact, though, that you've got to stay in it for the long haul. Now, if you don't want to do that, then we have a window of opportunity right now before the holiday to get the price in line with where it needs to be, get the property sold, and get you moved. And I wouldn't even bring up, I know you guys don't want to lose money. I know you paid more. I wouldn't even put that on the table. They may put it on the table. I wouldn't put it on the table. And if they did bring it up, I'd say, I understand. And yet, do you want to hold on to something that's going to take a very long time to get to your expectation? And wouldn't it be better to protect your quality of life, get the property sold, and get on to your next phase? And, you know, based on what you've told me, this is the right thing. We need to do it. See, what we want to remember, guys, is they do come to you so you can tell them to do something. Like, this is the right thing. And I think I've told some of you this story before. When we were in our house in Huntington, the kids moved out. We didn't need the bedrooms. And, you know, we're sitting there going, what do we do with this house? Should we keep it? Should we sell it? And our great client, Sean Stanfield in Huntington Beach, I asked Sean, and he said, do you want to stay 5 to 10 years? And I said, no. He said, then, Debbie, you haven't missed your window of opportunity, but your window is closing. Do it now. And guess what? My husband's still selling real estate full time. I live in the real estate world. I still needed him to tell me that. So I would try that and just get them in and look them in the eye and go for it. If they say no, that they're not going to do it, then what you'll have to decide is it worth keeping it? Answer is probably. You know, they'll probably eventually come around because it almost sounds like they have to. And then I would share with them, if I'm going to keep working for you, then I'm going to need to keep advising and telling you the truth. It's my job. And then you're going to have to keep talking to them. Right? And they may just need a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Good deal.
All right. And I know not easy, guys. I understand. I know you dread it. I know they're tough conversations. But just think about it like you're the doctor. They're the patient. Sometimes the doctor has to bring bad news, but it is the doctor's job to do what they have to do. Right? And keep telling them until they listen. Okay, anything else? Any other questions? Okay, well, we have a lot of great stuff coming up, guys. I have an awesome team here. We added about, when I did my merger with Ben, we added about 150 amazing, talented people to our team. We have a big meeting with the coaches tomorrow. Most of the coaches are coming in so we can do some strategies and ideas for all of you for the new year ahead. And just remember, if there's anything you need from me, if there's anything you're not happy with, if there's a question you have, our coaches do work as a faculty. So if by any chance you're thinking, you know, I've been with my coach a long time, I love my coach, but I would maybe like to talk to Debbie about a new coach for the new year ahead. That's all perfectly acceptable. We want to get you where you want to be. So just feel free to email me. So remember, my personal email is debbiedegroat@gmail.com. So we appreciate you guys, and hey, let's go make some money. All right, guys, have a great day. Thanks for joining us.